Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
Our Heavenly Father, we just come to you at this time, thanking you for all you do in each and every one of our lives. We're thankful that we can come here to your house to worship this morning, that we can praise you in song and in scripture. Father, we just thank you for the love you showed to us in spite of all of our failures and shortcomings, because we are just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And we just thank you and praise you in all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Okay, the first Sunday of Advent. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." We are glad, whether we drove in or logged on or tuned in, we are glad to be here in this community with this family. It is a place of joyful hope, of warm welcome. It is a place where together we can wait in wondrous anticipation of the kingdom to come. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways and that we may walk in God's paths." We light this candle as a sign of our hope, our joyous hope, that we can be restored, our faith restored, our strength restored, our confidence restored, our joy restored, as we watch and wait with all God's people for the promise to be fulfilled.
All right, Stan, we'll start our worship. Let's try that again.
From the high and holy to the manger low, the greatest mystery the world has ever known. How you left your majesty to embrace humanity, it awes and humbles me to be loved by a God so high. Oh, what can I do? But thank you, what can I do but give my life to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, what can I do but praise you? Every day make everything I do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
To the least and lowest, you became as one of us. You'll not be brokenness you suffered by our side. From the cradle to the cross, rising up victorious, the Messiah Jesus, born to us on that holy night. What can I do? But thank you, what can I do but give my life to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, what can I do but praise you? Every day make everything I do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
What can I do but thank you? What can I do but give my life to you?
Perfect life, born in offer have I, incense on the daily night, prayer and praising God and raising, worship Him God on high. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still
almost good. Good morning. That's better. All right. Are we happy to be here? Yeah, amen. So Tim asked me a while ago to talk, and I said, okay. So I enjoy it. So we're going to talk a little bit today. But the thing is, the intro or the thought process is, who are you and are you thankful? That's big, because if you've noticed sermons up to this point from Tim and myself, we've kind of been throwing the whole salvation thing out there, right? Have you been noticing it? And kind of the church's guide and what the church is supposed to do. Today is another one of those. And I call it, for me, a light bulb moment. There's going to be five statements that are like, doing, it's the light bulb where you get it, hopefully. And for me, it took a long time to really get to that point of, oh, I get it. So we're going to be bouncing around a little bit. And hopefully we keep up. Take notes, please. Very important, very key, take notes. But on a side note of that, OCC boxes. Can anybody tell me roughly how many we took? Throw a number out. 56. I would like to have had 78. We had 56. So OCC is really important to me for two reasons, all right? One, I really very rarely ever got anything as a child for Christmas. Two, we're passing that gift on to the kids that they're going to get something. And two, they're going to get a gift that they have no idea that is coming. And that's a pamphlet they sign up for. And they get 12 weeks of Bible lessons. That's the whole idea of OCC, is they get introduced to God. They get a little gift, but they get the gift. So next year, let's chip in, see what we can get. I just want to tell everybody, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Angie and I delivered those last week. Prayer warriors. Where's my prayer warriors at? Mom, I know you're one, right? Any other ladies, prayer warriors, come on. All right. I have two prayer requests, please. One, George Turner is a guy I work with. Angie knows him as my friend. He's my friend. Pray for his wife. Continual ailments. She's not doing well. Two, Mike Cavanaugh, another guy I work with, his 18-month-old son is having issues with his ears. Had surgery, found out there's a lot of buildup. Please, pray for both of those. But we're going to start with prayer because that's what we should do, and we'll get into it. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for this house. How beautiful it is, Lord, for the family that's here, our church family, Lord. And just bless us and guide us and protect us and fill our hearts and minds, Lord, with wisdom and clarity. Most of all, Lord, let every word fall be your word. And the words that are not, Lord, let them not be said. Let us hear, Lord, and let us understand. In your holy name, Lord, amen. So we just had Thanksgiving, right? How many people are thankful for Thanksgiving? Oh, absolutely. We had our families, right? Mom, I don't know if I told you because I was a little out of it. Mom cooked an amazing meal. Excellent. Had the, potatoes. Let me tell you, the potatoes. Had a two-star. She made my potatoes. It's a little sweet potato, a little white potato, all twice baked. Amazing. Had some brisket and some turkey, and we had our family there, and I kind of drifted in and out a little bit. So I was thankful. I mean, it was good. But Thanksgiving, is that really the purpose of being thankful? See, if you don't know who you are, can you be thankful? No. So if you don't know who you are, you can't be thankful, then you can't be joyful, correct? I mean, think about it. If you have no identity of who you are, how can you ever be thankful? And that's what we're going to talk today, because it's plagued me forever in my life of who am I? You know, Josh was young, and you know, I'm Josh, son of Nun. No, he said, I'm Josh, son of Angie and John. You know, he got it. You know, he got who he was, right? He had identity with who Angie and I are. He's our son. But are we thankful? Full thankfulness to me is some days just surviving the day. You guys have bad days at work, yeah? I mean, some of you farmers have bad farm years. Oh, yeah, you know, you're just thankful to get through that day. But, you know, we can laugh. But what is thankfulness? I mean, it comes from deep inside of us, the thankfulness. It's so deep that you're just overwhelming and just like an old percolator pot just bubbling. For some of you young ones, YouTube it, you'll find out what a percolator is. Right? But it's true. That's thankfulness. And we're going to talk about it today. I'm going to help introduce you to who you are. And after you know who you are, then hopefully you'll understand how to be thankful. And if you can understand how to be thankful, then guess what? Hopefully you can be joyful. And that's where I fail. I don't like being joyful because I'm still struggling. Mom knows. It's hard for me to be joyful. I can be thankful, right, Mom? Can I be joyful? John's not joyful. It's difficult because, again, who are you? The secret is this. It doesn't matter what any other person says about you. What matters is what God says. Right? It matters what God says. What God says who you are. That's what matters. If you don't know who you are, it's going to impact you your entire life. It's going to follow you like a haunting dream your entire life. So you must understand what God wants from you. And if you understand what God wants from you, he's going to let you know who you are. He's going to direct you down that path. And guess what? Thankfulness comes. See, growing up, my life was rough. It was horrible. I've shared with Mom. Horrible life. No, nobody hugged me. Nobody said, Johnny, I love you. Horrible life. When's the last time you, most of you here hug your kids every day, right? When you can? Yeah, amen, Kat. I love you. They may have just messed up, and what do you say? You scold them? You pick them up, right? Dust them off. That probably wasn't the wisest decision. And you guide them and direct them, right? You know, our peers wreak havoc with our life, especially when you look at your parents at being peers. When they say nothing but horrible things to you, it wrecks your life horribly. You know, you've heard me say this saying up here, fat boy. I used it a lot, and I still do. And it's not digging at anybody. It's really not. But it reminds me of who people related to me as. Lard, fill in the blank. fat boy, whatever, fill in the blank. Your head's too big, your head's too small. You got bucky teeth, you got, you know, go on and on and on. We smile and we laugh about it, but it's true. Those words cut right to the bone. It affects our children, and it affects us going into adulthood. Because that's who we relate to, who we are. That's who we perceive ourselves as. See, I use that term because I've been throwing out breadcrumbs, you know. How do you get a duck? You throw breadcrumbs out and keep walking. And guess what? The duck's going to follow the breadcrumbs. And somebody bit. It's awesome. I had a great person come up to me I love dearly. That's not funny. Why are you doing that? Because it led to this that's been done since Pastor Tim was here. That's how long this devotion has been done. It led to this moment that we need to talk, or not Tim, Tom, excuse me, Tom, that we need to talk about this and help understand who we are so when we leave here today and anybody watching or anybody listening, they understand and hopefully they get it. The light bulb clicks today of who they really are. They're not the things that people call them. They're not the things that they think they are. How many times have we heard, hey, if I ever stop it or walk into the church, it's going to burn down. Excellent. We have insurance. Let it burn down. Come on in, right? That's who they perceive themselves as. They might be joking, but they're serious. Do you know it's no longer teen suicide? It's child suicide. We're talking 8, 9, 10-year-olds. 11-year-olds. Drug rates through the roof. Officers having to keep Narcan with them so they can try to save somebody's life. Why is that? They don't know who they are. Can any of you here look in the mirror and say, I know who I am? And with a firm foundation, absolutely 100% say, I know who I am. That's what it's about. Do we understand? So the first one is this. We're going to get started. It's write this down if it's going to be up there. But it says, you are a child of God. If you can understand this first part, you are a child of God. You're on your way. You understand who you are right off the get-go. I'm a child of God. Great. Well, why am I? Well, Galatians 3:26 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. I like to use this, and Angie uses this also. How many of us walked in here today and grabbed that pew, rattled it, just rattled it? Is it soft enough over here? Is it soft enough over here? Is it cush? You go like a tire, you know, tire and kick it, you know, is it good enough? Is it going to stand up? We didn't do that, did we? What did we do? We walked in and flopped right down, right? We had faith. Guess what? Faith is the first thing. We just sat down on that sucker, right? Faith is the first and key portion of that, of being and understanding that you are a child of God, is you have to have faith. Verse 25 tells it like this, that you no longer need a guardian, right? Why? Because you're a child of God. You've graduated on. You don't need that individual, right, that teacher walk in your hand, say, oh, you're okay. You have graduated past that point because you're a child of God. It's the understanding and the concept of grabbing every part of reality that you can identify with. It's the faith relation through Christ. That's it. It's by faith. Verse 27, it says it like this. You are baptized in Christ. So when Christ submerged under that water, guess what? He came up, right? We had a baptismal. Guess what? When I baptized my son, I put him under. I brought him up. He had a shroud, a protection of Christ upon him. That's what it is to be baptized. That's what it is to be identified. Is that when we go to that part where Christ died and he rose again, guess what? He died and he rose for us, did he not? It goes further like this. We are no longer a Jew. We're no longer a Greek, right? We are no longer a slave. We are no longer a free man. We are no longer a male. We are no longer a female. Guess what we are? We are one body. Yeah, amen? One body. We are a body of Christ. That's who we are. We are a child of God. We are a body encompassed by everybody here. That individual that came to me did exactly what they should have done. When something is wrong and something's being said, guess what? We are the ones, we are the family, right? All of us together, we are the family that protects the family. We don't need to be walking around with the empty shell casing around us, dragging us down in the muck and the mire every day, going, who am I? I have no idea who I am. Galatians 4:7, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you're a child, God has made you also an heir. I love that idea, an heir. That we're no longer a slave. We're no longer serving in sin, right? Who are we serving? Hopefully, right, we're serving and we're heir with Christ. We're joint with the Father, right? So if you're not with the Father, then who are you with? Who? Wow, there's one of us here. Come on, I worked last night. I didn't take any coffee. You got to keep me going. Exactly. Because if you're not with Father God, then guess who your Father is? See what I'm saying here? So if you have no clue who your identity is, then guess who you're serving? Right? Amen? You're serving the one we should not be serving. You're serving the one that says, oh, you're just fine the way you are. You smell like a hog pen, but you're all right. I'll take you. That's not what we're designed to be. That's not who we're designed to be. We're children of God. We have royalty around our necks. We have the passion and the drive and the compassion to say, he's my Father. Jesus is my Savior. Do you know him? No, guess what? Hey, let's go sit down. You want to sit down? Excellent. I'm all right with that. Let's go get a coffee. We're going to sit down anyways and have coffee. Okay, let's go have coffee. Great, I got you to sit down. We need to introduce people. We need to guide and direct people to who they are because they have no idea. The Trinity, right? God the Father sent his Son, Christ the Son who died and rose from the grave to free us from the old law. The Holy Spirit was then brought and adopted us into the family of God, yes? I'll use it like this. You guys are kind of being a little, need a visual maybe, right? How many people have gone and adopted a dog? Raise your hands. Yeah, we've adopted, all right? I'm sorry if you adopted a cat, they're okay, but yeah. All right, cats are right? So here you go, ready? You've adopted a dog. What happens? Whoosh, they open. As soon as you open that door, the differential pressure changes in there. Those dogs go nuts, don't they? They're like, hey, somebody's here. And they're jumping around, and they're trying to throw their best, and they're trying to look. What they want to get adopted. Or they're getting treats, one or the other. I don't know, right? What if God goes, hey, I got this. Whoosh, opens the door and walks down this kennel, right? He's walking down the kennel. I'm just going to stand back a little bit. He's walking down the kennel. He goes, hey, I'll take that one. It's not the prettiest. I'll take that one. And he comes to me and I go, rawr! I'll take him, I guess. You know, we laugh. But that's what God does. Ready? God takes us as we are. Do you understand that? He takes us right now in the moment that we are, all messed up or all good. And he will guide us, direct us, protect us, and help get us that identity, right? Because when you get adopted, don't you, the dogs get a collar. Most of the time we're like, oh, let's get the doggy a collar. You know, oh, it's got to have a little something on it. Who's this doggy? I don't know your name. Growly, you know, or cute, cuddly dog. Mine's Pepper. It gets an identification, right? God gives the dogs an identification. God gave us an identification. From day one, we were already known. From day one, he already said, this person's going to do this, that person's going to do this, this person is going to be this. That's who God is. Can we understand that? Yes? Amen? Number two is this. You are someone who's deeply loved. That the love God has for us is so immense, we can never fathom it in a heartbeat. We can never understand how loved we are. We can maybe get a glimpse of it, right? We're having a bad day. Maybe our mom passed away or our dad passed away. Or something horrible happened and God comes to us in that moment and just shh. Or you're in your prayer closet and you're praying and you're just weeping. And all of a sudden you get this fragrance in the air and just calmed. And you're like, God's here. God has this. It's because we are loved. Because God has complete control. I like to call this a life changer. Saul to Paul, right? John to Johnny. Use your name and whatever, fill it in. We're changed. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That Christ himself gave himself for us. All right? How about this? A man born of a virgin, whose father was a carpenter, came into the world for one purpose. He did no wrong. He was beat to the point of death. He was put on the cross and nailed. We didn't even know him. And thousands of years ago, he did that for us. Is that not love? The ultimate love, the ultimate sacrifice? When he said it was finished, his last breath was taken. The last drop of blood fell. It's for you. Every one of you here, everyone listening, everybody watching, it was for you. How could we not be loved? Romans 8:38 through 90 through 39. So I want you all to say this. Ready? For I am convinced. Come on, there's more than three of us here. For I am convinced. Yes. For I am convinced neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither nor death nor anything else creation will be able to separate me from the love of God as in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from that. You know what can separate us? Us. It's called apostasy. It's when we turn our back on God 100% and denounce him. That's the only separation that can happen here. So we're saying here, guess what? Nothing will take us away from the love. It can't be taken away. It can't be measured. It can't be hidden. It has no limit. It has no boundaries. God loves us to the point that he sent Jesus, his plan for the entire human race. Not white, not black, not yellow, not red. Everybody, right? Guess what? Gay, not gay. Didn't Christ die for him? Yes or no? Yes, thank you very much. Right? The thief. Wait a minute. Yeah, the thief, he died for him, right? Yes. The murderers, yes. They're covered in this plan. They had no idea of who they were. Church, that's our job. It's our job to help people understand who they are. It's our job to guide them and direct them through the word. Number three is this. In Christ you will know true joy. John 15:11. I have told you this so that you may know joy. That you will enjoy, you will enjoy, excuse me, you, that your joy may be complete. Messed that up, I apologize. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I got it out. There you go. When I said earlier, if you don't know who you are, you can't be thankful, right? And what was the last thing I said? Joy. Being joyful. Thank you. Being joyful is so important. And how do we do it? Walk out our plan with God. That he guides us and directs us with that. That Christ is talking about it, and he brings it up. This is Christ talking. He says the Father's love, the love we just said it earlier, is so enormous that it's there for everybody, not just one. That we walk in joy, that we're covered in joy, that everything we do, and as I said, it's hard for me to be joyful. I'm working on it. That we understand God's purpose for us. Number four is this. You are God's special possessions. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise to him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, and now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. How many of us have a special possession at home? Just something small, right? Don't we keep control of it? We know where that one thing is for the most part. It's put away for my dad. It was his clock, right? It doesn't work. It's cracked, but it's been in the family since 1879. It's on my dresser. Right? That's the one possession that my dad has handed down to me. He's like, here you go. This is the Ricketts clock. Hold on to it. I'm like, it's a clock, Dad. It doesn't work. Yes, but you've got to hold on to it. All right, Dad, I'll hold on to the clock. Guess what? The value of that clock to my dad isn't even as close to the possession that we are for God. Yeah, amen? We are so valuable. Because God thought us out. He formed us, right? He guided us. He does every day. That possession is immense. That God goes, this is my people. These are my people. I sent my son for them. Exodus 19, 5 through 6. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom, a priest, a holy nation. That's us, church. That's us. That's how valuable we are. That when we're in Mount Carroll and we walk around, they understand who we are. And once we leave Mount Carroll and we go to our jobs and we walk around and we're having a bad day and we have a pouty face on their face like I do sometimes, they can still go, wow, you still keep it together for the most part. Well, yeah, I do for the most part. Because God has set us apart. We are his priests. We are his holy, clean, pure, valuable possession. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all peoples, the faces on the earth, to be his people, his treasure, his possession. Ready, church? Ready? Say this, would you? We are holy. We're chosen. Yes, we are. And guess what? We're a treasured possession, are we not? Amen. Yes, we are. We are all those things. So when we go back, like, who are we? Guess what? We are holy, we're chosen, and we're a treasured possession. That's who we are. If we understand that, we grasp it and get it, we can be thankful. So I'm going to wrap up here. Genesis 1, 27. This is the last one. Guess what? Number 5. We are created in God's image. And I love the view of this, that God stopped there for a minute and he just formed us, right? And we're there, and he blew his breath into our nostrils. Genesis 1:27 says, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God took the time to create us, church. Thousands and thousands of years ago, he created every one of us for a purpose. So when we think, who are you or who are we? Who are we? We're God's chosen people. We should be thankful every day. And we should try to have joy. Try. It's hard for some, easier for others. So I'm going to close in prayer. Out of those five things, people, who are you? Understand who you are. If you're watching and you're listening and you have no idea, that's all right. Call Pastor Tim. Get a hold of me. Have Tim and get a hold of me and we'll sit down and we'll talk. We'll let you know who you are. Gracious Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come to this house. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. For us, O Lord, for who you've made us. That you guide us and direct us and fill our hearts, Lord. Most of all, let us be a blessing in your holy name, Lord. Amen. Please stand. God created you. You're a child of God. Walk proud and walk tall. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church, this congregation, Lord. Bless everyone here. Bless their families, their homes, their jobs, Lord. Bless their hearts and their spirit. Guide them today and the week, Lord. Bless our pastor as he's gone and allowed me to fill in for him. Give him strength, clarity, wisdom, and most of all, Lord, rest. In your holy name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.